All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13J, Protocol number 15, and the Masons. Those of you who are currently following us know that we are doing an in-depth series of studies on the great mathematical equation equaling 666, the number of the beast. This study we are going to do today is going to kind of factor into that. If you would, it's going to be another piece of that equation. And I'm sure many of you have heard that the Freemasons are behind everything, that they're the force causing wars, depressions, etc., in an attempt to break down the world and reshape it into a new world order. I mean, conspiracy show after conspiracy show, radio shows, websites on the internet point to the Freemasons. Is this true? Well, there is some truth to this. But if you teach that the Freemasons are the conspirators, are the sole conspirators behind the New World Order, that can be very misleading. In fact, there is evidence that says the Masons are merely a screen that cover the real conspirators. And if you've ever read Genesis 3 verse 15, you will understand what I'm saying. And if you read that prophecy, you will get to the very root of the conspiracy between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, or I should say it this way, the conspiracy of Satan, as he's trying to overthrow God's kingdom. Anyways, I'm going to go back to that picture really quick here. That symbol there, the compass and the square, with the G in the middle. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations of it. Many people say it means different things, but I believe it means G for geometry. And am I agreeing with the symbols? Is Pastor Ben a Mason? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there are actually scriptures in the Bible that say that, and we'll probably get into these maybe even the next study, that say that God actually, when he created the earth, he put the compass down on it. And you'll find out that you can make almost everything in creation, maybe even everything, as far as in theory, with the square and the compass. Now, does that mean that the Freemasons are good and that their use of sacred geometry, the geometry of creation, is good? No, I'm not saying that at all, because what Satan has done is he has stolen. Now, this is very important because it's going to play out in the New World religion. I have no doubt about it. Satan has stolen the secrets behind creation, if you would, or at least he claims to be the one with those secrets. And he's hidden it from the masses. By that I mean true astronomy, true geometry, true mathematics. Because he wants to save it for the time when he can come on the scene and say, hey, look it, I am the creator. Look at this wisdom I have. I know all of the secrets to it. And it'll be very seducing to the rest of the world. I mean, it'll be very believable. Because I tell you what, when you get in and you start looking at sacred geometry, by that I mean geometry that can be discovered in nature, astronomy, biology, you name it, everything that's created, you see that there is a pattern behind it. You see that an intelligent person, whom we know to be Almighty God, designed it. There is no randomness in creation. It's precise. It follows laws. Laws of mathematics. Laws of numbers. And anyways, this stuff has been around for a long time. People have known about many parts of it. But again, I feel it has been hidden by Satan and those who work for his kingdom, so that when the time is right, they can then show everybody. When Satan, when the Antichrist appears on the scene, he will claim to have all the answers to all these things, and people will look at creation and be amazed. And they will probably say certainly that this Antichrist, whom they won't consider to be Antichrist, they will think he is the creator, or he has the power of creation. Thus you see here the square and the compass. This symbol here seems to be very, very simple. But you know what? When you look at creation, as complex as it is, it really does boil down to simple geometry and mathematics. By that I mean, when you get to the prime root of everything, it's simple, but yet you can make it more complex and more complex as you go. But there's always a solid foundation to it that makes sense. Anyways, let's get to, I'm going to read from a very controversial book that supposedly was written or spoken at a meeting in the year 1897 and was published sometime after that. And it is called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, what makes this book controversial is that most people who read it, they don't understand that the plots or the planners of these so-called protocols were not actually truly of Judah. They claimed to be Jews, but they were not. Therefore, anybody who attempts to read them or to understand them are called anti-Semitic. And it's a very clever trick by the enemies of Christianity and freedom to hide these plans, to make them seem like anybody who reads them is just, you know, some really bad, evil person. And yes, there are people that are evil that read this and that'll use the knowledge in this in an irresponsible manner. But anyways, Christ said it right there in Revelation 2:9. He says, "I know thy works." When he's speaking to the church of Smyrna, he says, "I know thy works and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which," now here it is, "them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." So the creators of these protocols, these plans to take over the world, headquartered in Zion, are of the synagogue of Satan, though many of them claim to be Jews. They're not. They're not truly of Judah. But they're here to set up the kingdom for the Antichrist. And so that's the key when reading these things. Is Pastor Ben anti-Semitic? No, I'm not. I'm Semitic myself. I come from the 12 tribes of Israel. My ancestors traced through that, and many of yours do as well. And many people in America today that come from European roots and were inherited being a Christian, were born Christian, I should say, are of Israel, and they don't even realize it. But anyways, that's another topic for another time. Let's get in. Well, before I get into reading the protocols, let me read a couple verses here from the Bible. Psalms 37, verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. because of the man who bringeth, now check this out, wicked devices, which are protocols or plans, to pass. So does the Bible mention anything about the enemy having plans? Stated goals and stated plans to take over the world? Absolutely. It's all over the Bible. You just have to know how to look for it and you have to be alert. See, God says here, he says, those of us that understand these plans, and that's why when you read these protocols, you could get very upset. You could get angry. But God says, hey, rest in him. Understand what your enemy's doing, but put your trust in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't do anything stupid. Because this is a spiritual war we're fighting. It's not physical. And God says, don't sit around and fret about it. You know, I know people that understand different aspects of the enemy. And instead of being a Christian and continually reading through the scriptures and following God's law, his commandments, and the testimony of Jesus Christ and living it, all they do is sit around and complain about the enemy. And people look at them like they're fruitcakes. They post up stuff on the internet all the time. It's all they can talk about. Is what the evildoers are doing. And they fret and they rant and they rave. And yet they're not living out the commandments of God. It's one thing to know about the enemy. But it's another thing to know about the enemy and still live your life according to the word of God. And that's what I believe God is reminding us here. He says, put your trust in him and don't fret. Don't sit around and complain and say, I can't do anything because the wicked are in power. Yes, you can because you have power. You were given it by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross. It's called the Holy Spirit, a greater power than all of our enemies combined have. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth, of Psalms 37. Going to one more example here for you. The wicked plotteth. They make plans. They make protocols against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. They're making plans against us. But again, should that worry us? Not for a minute. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray before we get into reading some of these plans of our enemy. We pray for discernment. We pray that you can give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you can help us solve this equation of the number of the man, the number of the beast, that equals 666. Please help us do that. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Sorry about that. I left my phone on there. I better put that on silent. Okay. Let's move on. Okay, here it is. Protocol number 15. This is what they say they are going to do. When we at last definitively, come into our kingdom by the aid of coup d'etats prepared everywhere for one and the same day, after definitely acknowledged, and not a little time will pass before that comes about, perhaps even a whole century. Now, remember, this was written in 1897. They're talking about a time when they come into their kingdom. Whose kingdom do you think that is? That's the kingdom of the Antichrist, my friends. And they were so sure that they were going to get it maybe even within 100 years. By 1997. Well, they're a little bit behind. They're not quite there yet. We shall make it our task to see that against us such things as plots shall no longer exist. With this purpose, we shall slay without mercy all who take arms in hand to oppose our coming into our kingdom. Now, I'm going to highlight this here. That is written in Revelation 13. God said, whoever tries to take up arms to defeat the beast. In other words, if we take up our guns and march down to the United Nations building or wherever the Antichrist will eventually show up, we know it'll be Jerusalem, we would lose. We would forfeit every good thing that we would be able to do in the future that God has called us to do. That's why we do not take arms in hand to fight that. Do we keep arms in hand to defend our families? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every household should have the means to protect themselves against somebody who would come in, want to come in and break into their house and harm their family. But anyways, every kind of new institution of anything like a secret society. Now, keep that in mind. We're coming here because we're going to be talking about the Masons. Every kind of new institution of anything like a secret society will also be punished with death. Those of them which are now in existence, now check this out, those of them which are now in existence are known to us, serve us, and have served us. We shall disband and send into exile to continents far removed from Europe. In this way, we shall proceed with those goy. Now, check this out. Goy, they, anybody who is a non-serpent seed is considered a goy to them. That's their terminology. Gentiles, so to speak. We shall proceed with those goy Masons who know too much. Interesting. Such of these as we may for some reason spare will be kept in constant fear of exile. We shall promulgate a law making all former members of secret societies liable to exile from Europe as the center of rule. So does that mean that every secret society today is is the center of command, the command and control center of this conspiracy? No, it doesn't. As you can see, there is one behind them all. And these other ones are just they're there serving their purpose at this time. Anyways, resolutions of our government will be final without appeal. Okay, they're talking about, we're going to skip down here to secret societies right here. Meantime, however, until we come into our kingdom, we shall act in the contrary way. Means we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to send, because they said when they come into their kingdom, anybody who is part of a secret society, they were going to eliminate somehow or imprison. But they said, meantime, however, until we come into our kingdom, we shall act in the contrary way. We shall create and multiply free Masonic lodges in all the countries of the world. Absorb them into all who may become or who are prominent in public activity. For these lodges, we shall find our principal intelligence office and means of influence. Through these lodges. So why do they, what's the true purpose of the Masons? It's to gather all of the intelligent people of the world in a way that the serpent seed can monitor them, control them, and influence them. Pretty crafty, isn't it? All these lodges we shall bring under one central administration, known to us alone and to all others absolutely unknown, which will be composed of our learned elders. Remember, that's the title of these plans, the learned protocols of the learned elders of Zion. The lodges will have their representatives who will serve to screen the above-mentioned administration of Masonry, and from whom will issue the watchword and the program. In these lodges, we shall tie together the knot which binds together all revolutionary and liberal elements. Their composition will be made up of all strata of society. The most secret political plots will be known to us and fall under our guiding hands on the very day of their conception. Among the members of these lodges will be almost all the agents of international and national police, since their service is for us irreplaceable in the respect that the police is in a position not only to use its particular measures with the insubordinate, but also to screen our activities and provide pretexts for discontents, etc. All right, here we go. The class of people who most willingly enter into secret societies are those who live by their wits, careerists, and in general people most light-minded, with whom we shall have no difficulty in dealing and in using to wind up the mechanism of the machine devised by us. Do you remember what we read in Psalms 37? That was what that definition of that word meant. Was like a machine, a plan that worked its magic, so to speak. It's deception. It's wickedness. So that's how they look at this. They look at it like a machine, and they are pulling the measures, or they are pulling the switches, the levers. If this world grows agitated, the meaning of that will be that we have had to stir it up in order to break up its too great solidarity. But, in other words, if they're the ones always causing discord, breaking it down, causing wars, political strife, economic strife, you name it, they are the sowers of discord, they are the tares that Christ spoke of in Matthew chapter 13. But if there should arise in its midst a plot, then at the head of that plot will be no other than one of our most trusted servants. It is natural that we and no other should lead Masonic activities, for we know whether we are leading. We know the final goal of every form of activities, whereas the Goyim have knowledge of nothing, not even of the immediate effect of action. They put before themselves, usually, the momentary reckoning of the satisfaction of their self-opinion in the accomplishment of their thought, without even remarking that the very conception never belonged to their initiative, but to our instigation of their thought. In other words, many people think that they've come up with really grand ideas. There are people in talk radio today, many people in government and people that you see on television that think they came up with something on their own. But many times, those ideas were never conceived in the mind of the person promoting it, spewing it out, whatever. But were actually planted in their minds by suggestion by these people, by the synagogue of Satan. Anyways, here we go. Gentiles, they say, are stupid. The Goyim enter the lodges out of curiosity. You know, a lot of people want to be part of secret societies because they want to know something. They want to get power. They want to get prestige. They want to be somebody. But you know what? Hey, if you're really curious and you want to be somebody, you can do all that. You can join a secret society, so to speak. And it is called entering into the mysteries of God's kingdom that Christ spoke of in Matthew chapter 13. He said, his disciples came up to him and said, hey, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you not just telling the people plainly? these things? And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, because it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them it is not given. In other words, he's saying, I'm hiding it from the world and only giving it to a select few, those whom I trust. So you might, you know, you sometimes think of secret society, and I'm not saying that Christianity is a secret society. In a way, we are. We're connected by the Spirit, not by passwords and secret this is and that's, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So yes, God does operate that way. Anyways, let's move on. So if you really want to have an exciting life, stay away from being duped by Satan, because you know what? You get into God's kingdom. You learn about his secrets, his mysteries. And he's not going to turn around and destroy you with it. He's not tricking. It's not a big lie. It's the truth. It's exciting. And it's the real deal. The goyim enter the lodges out of curiosity or in hope of their means to get a nibble at the public pie, and some of them in order to obtain a hearing before the public. For their impracticable, now I'm not going to say all these words right, but I'll do my best, and groundless fantasies, they thirst for the emotion of success and applause. Now check this out, of which we are remarkably generous. You see that? They're the first ones to lay out flattery in order to control people. The first one's there to applaud somebody. Yay, yay, you're doing great. Good job. Just keep doing it. We'll give you another Nobel Peace Prize or something like that. Hey, if you did our series of studies in the book of, if you haven't done our series of studies in the book of Esther, you need to do that right away. One of those studies is called, I think it's called Flattery. Flattery. That's in the title. I can't remember the exact title of it, but you'll find it there. And you can find that on YouTube or, you can find it on YouTube. Just search it there on our channel. And the reason, continuing on, and the reason why we give them this success is to make use of the high conceit. Now, there are some spelling errors in this version that I am reading from. I pulled this off on the internet so I'd have it in digital form, and looks like somebody typed it out with some mistakes here. Is to make use of the high conceit of themselves to which it gives birth. For that insensibility disposes them to assimilate our suggestions without being on their guard against them in the fullness of their confidence that it is their own infallibility which is giving utterance to their own thoughts, and that it is impossible for them to borrow those of others. In other words, they're deceived. You cannot, and here's what they say, you cannot imagine to what extent the wisest of the goyim. Now, you're looking at all the wise people we see on in public office today. They're mocking them. They're saying even the wisest among them can be brought to a state of unconscious naivety in the presence of this condition of high conceit of themselves. And at the same time, how easy it is to take the heart out of them by the slightest ill success. In other words, hey, we can control them. We can give them applause. We can give them success, and they'll keep going. But hey, if we want to stop clapping for them, oh, they're going to be crushed. Oh, because they're moved by their own personal success. There'll be nothing more than a stoppage of the applause they had, and to reduce them to a slavish submission for the sake of winning a renewal of success. You want to know how our political leaders are controlled oftentimes? Here it is. By so much as ours disregard success, if only they can carry through their plans. By so much the goyim are willing to sacrifice any plans only to have success. This psychology of theirs materially facilitates for us the task of setting them in the required direction. These tigers in appearance have souls of sheep, and the wind blows freely through their heads. We have set them on the hobby horse of an idea about the absorption of individuality by the symbolic unit of collectivism. They have never yet and never will have the sense to reflect that this hobby horse is a manifest violation of the most important law of nature, which has established from the very creation of the world one unit alike, unlike another, and precisely for the purpose of instituting individuality. If we have been able to bring them to such a pitch of stupid blindness, it is not a proof. Is it not a proof, and an amazingly clear proof of the degree to which the mind of the goyim, and this is, they're trying to talk about us, is undeveloped in comparison with our mind? That is, mainly, which guarantees our success. In other words, they say they are successful because, for the most part, we are stupid. Except for those of us who study the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, because we're not only smarter. By that, when I say smarter, I don't mean, you know, we can memorize and do things as quick as some of these guys might. But we have a vision that is more intelligent than theirs, because theirs leads to the pit. And ours lets us see the full spectrum when God allows us, when he gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. Anyways, we're going to go on about the Masons here, and I'll just keep reading. And here's, I'll start reading under this title here, Gentiles are cattle. And how far seeing were our learned elders in ancient times? Whoa, ancient times? Learned elders? Who are these people? Well, they are the serpent seed of Genesis 3, verse 15. They've been on this earth conspiring against God's kingdom ever since Cain walked this earth. And how far seeing were our learned elders in ancient times when they said that to attain a serious end, it behooves not to stop at any means or to count the victim's sacrifice for the sake of that end. In other words, the ends always justify the means to them. No matter what they have to do, no matter what evil they have to perform, they will do it. We have not counted the victims of the seed of the goy cattle, though we have sacrificed many of our own. But for that, we have now already given them such a position on earth as they could not even have dreamed of. The comparatively small numbers of the victims from the number of ours have preserved our nationality from destruction. So yes, the serpent seed is a race of people. It is a family. Verse 9, death is the inevitable end for all. It is better to bring that end nearer to those who hinder our affairs than to ourselves, to the founders of this affair, to the founders of this conspiracy, in other words. We execute Masons in such wise that none save the Brotherhood can ever have suspicion of it. Not even the victims themselves of our death sentence. They all die when required as if from a normal kind of illness. Knowing this, even the Brotherhood in its turn dare not to protest. By such methods we have plucked out of the midst of the Masonry the very root of protest against our disposition. While preaching liberalism to the goy, we at the same time keep our own people and our agents in a state of unquestioningly submission. So what do they say they're going to do eventually? They want to kill off all the wise men. Those people who maybe were high up in Masonry. Again, does that mean the Masons are good? No, not at all. They were deceived into this sheep pen, if you would, to be executed. Well, I could go on and read through this, And I'm not sure if there was any more things about the Masons in this one. But you know what? We're going to leave it at that. Hey, so what are the Masons? Yes, they are a secret society. Are they the brains behind the conspiracy of evil to destroy good? No, they're not the brains. They are mere pawns in the hands of the Kenites, the serpent seed. And if you've never read, and you know what? If anybody tries to tell you different, that the conspiracy is this group, that group, you know what group? All you have to do is go back to the Bible and say, what does the Word of God say? And read Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The sole conspirators are the children of the serpent, the serpent seed, Satan's literal descendants on this earth. Anyways, hope you enjoyed that. Hey, we're going to get into some interesting things in our next study. I plan to get into some sacred geometry, if that's what you want to call it. I'd rather call it the geometry of the Creator. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. We're going to try to set things straight. We're going to try and take away that has been stolen from us. By that I mean Satan and his cronies have stolen the knowledge of mathematics, of astronomy, and numerology, and have devised their own systems and their own interpretations of it and claim it as their own. And it is no wonder why God said, when Jesus said, anybody who tries to come to the Father any other way than through me is a thief and a robber. Hey, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you digest it, meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer.